flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, it is Women's History Month. You've been hearing all about it. And a lot of times when we talk Women's History Month, we take a look back, you know, and we talk about people like Madam C.J. Walker, who was the first female millionaire in the United States of America who was self-made. We talk about locally Dr. Josie Johnson, the mother of Minnesota's civil rights movement, Nellie Stone Johnson. But what about the women who are making history today? Who are doing amazing things right before our eyes. You know, I don't want us to wait until somebody is gone on to glory before we say, you know what? I see what you're doing. Amazing. Don't wait till I'm dead to name no streets after me. I promise I'm going to haunt you. Don't wait until I'm gone and my children are dead before you put my face on the stamp. If you're going to honor me, do it right now in real time so I can see it, enjoy it, and appreciate it. And so when I saw the work that Colette Campbell was doing at Bremer Bank and the big promotion that she got, I was like, oh my God, what do I have to do to celebrate this woman? How many times can she and I talk? How many times can she and I get together? Because I want to shine a spotlight on her promotion, the work that she's doing for Bremer, the work that she is doing with Bremer in community, and how she is changing the game and the face of banking. And so she is joining us now, courtesy of the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Girl, congratulations on your big promotion at Bremer Bank, and thank you for being on the show tonight.
Oh, thank you, Shaletta, for having me and just all those beautiful words that you even said before. You know, I think what you're saying, it's very sobering, humbly. I'm filled with gratitude, and it's not by myself, but it's because of people like you that continue to give those platforms to talk about people like me that are doing small things. And again, it's not just me, but it's the people that have given me the opportunity. So Jean Crane, as we think about Women's History Month, a CEO of a bank, there's not very many female women who have that position. And so it's really her and senior leadership that have allowed me to have this platform. So thank you so much for having me on the show.
Now, we have to talk about the promotion that you got to the position of Chief People and Culture officer. Tell us about that. This is not your first promotion at Bremer Bank. You joined Bremer probably 6 or 7 years ago as Director of Talent Acquisition and Diversity. Then you moved on to Chief Talent Acquisition and Diversity. And this is just even a bigger expansion in that role. Talk to me about this new title and this new position.
Sure. Well, in 2017, I was fortunate to join the organization as the first director of talent and DEI. And so in that role, I got to, you know, just really build the foundation of what this work looked like. And then in 2020, like many organizations, we make commitments to do something different and bigger and better and to invest in deeper, richer ways. And so that's what we did. And so not only did I get a promotion, but I was able, again, with the senior executive team and Gene Crane, they invested in other people. So we built that team to do some really significant work in the promises that we made. So again, a lot of organizations were making promises, and we put together an equity action plan that said, here are the ways that we are going to invest in Black and brown communities. Here are the ways that we want to make impact. And so, you know, in the last 3 years, again, myself, there's been other really amazing leaders that were added to this work, Stephen Spears, Teo Samala, others that really built diversity, some more foundational work, so diversity supplier program, Stephen Spears, and a lot of the work that he's doing around building our products, our services to really serve our communities. And then in just recently, a couple months ago, as we've been expanding our work and strategies to reach people and just to really to grow as a bank, they expanded my role. So because we've got these things in place now, and not that they're isolated or alone, but we're building this into our work. And I got the opportunity to take on all of the people roles, so human resources, essentially, and to really think about what do we do to make continued impact in our culture in the organization, both internally and what are we doing externally. So that's really the scope of my work in this expanded form. And, you know, it's only been it hasn't even really been a month yet, but already some exciting things in store. So.
Okay, now you done tease me. What kind of exciting things? You got to give me the scoop. I want to have the exclusive. You know, this news thing is all about who tells it first. So
yeah,
talk to me about some of those new things in this expanded role.
Yeah. So, you know, all of us have to be mindful of who the people are we're serving today and who we're going to serve tomorrow. And we all know that our communities are continuing to grow in representation of who's in the marketplace. And so I would say, as we think about knowing that our organizations will continue to be more diverse, as a brand, we want to be that workplace that people want to work at. We want to be ready to serve the diverse populations that are continuing to grow in our communities. And so that's part of what I get to do in terms of framing up what that looks like. We also know that the talent landscape is it's increasingly more competitive. And so to be that employer of choice, that's what I get to do in terms of, you know, people who aren't with us yet, how do I get them more intrigued to be with us, to be not only at work in financial services, but to work for a bank that is really thoughtful and purposeful in aligning what they do with their mission. And ours is cultivating thriving communities. And so we want to do that in every way possible. And one of those ways that we're very focused on is around our equity work.
Well, I have to say that I am so grateful to you all for answering the call. I know that you are really walking the talk, because this past October for Disability Awareness Month, I remember I got so angry because I saw, you know, everybody doing these proclamations for Disability Employment Awareness Month, and they were trying to encourage employers to hire people with disabilities. And I was like, you know, I appreciate these proclamations. I really do. But nobody is going to hire somebody because you put out a proclamation. Why don't somebody have a job fair for people with disabilities? And, you know, I'm sitting over here with three kids who have autism. And so I was calling around to the Autism Society and to the governor's office and to county offices, you know, just checking like, hey, thank you for the proclamation. Is anybody having a job fair? Y'all need to have a job fair. People need to work. The employment rate for autistic adults is almost 80%. And, you know, these are not people who can't work. They just can't find opportunities. And nobody was having a job fair. And that just infuriated me that we've got all these agencies. And I just remember being so upset. I had to pray. And then, you know, I felt in my spirit, well, you know, why don't you have a job fair? And I said, like, I don't know nothing about having no job fair. I'm a broadcaster. And, you know, I was like, well, I guess it can't be too hard. You get a room, you get some jobs and tell the people to show up. And I remember going to you all at Bremer Bank and I said, listen, I want to have a job fair for adults and teens with autism. I want you to come and set up a booth and I want you to talk to people. And if you find some qualified folks, hire them. And I just don't remember y'all saying anything except where you want us to be, how long is the table, and how long will it last? And it was just, I just want to make sure you understand how important it was for our autism community to be able to come to an event where they could have their squishies and be their true, authentic, autistic selves and sit there and talk about a job opening and sit there and, you know, fidget and, you know, not give eye contact and be comfortable enough to talk about their experience and accomplishments and be heard and seen. You know, we had 400 people there that day. Girl, we were sweating and working. And, you know, y'all were there at the beginning and helped us clean up at the end. And everyone was just so grateful.
Well, thank you for having that and for leading that charge. And we wanted to be there. And, you know, the full truth is that as we think about inclusion in the workplace, we all have to be challenged to think about what that looks like. And so that means you have to do things differently. And so to be honest, we had never been to a job fair that had that focus and purpose, and just because we hadn't been there didn't mean that we weren't going to go. And so we went and we learned and we came back and thought, well, how do we do this better? And how do we help managers see people for who they are and for what they offer? And for any job that we have, Shaletta, it is open. But it's more than that, it's open. You have to be presenting, you got to be meeting people, meeting talent, and that talent has to be exposed to our managers and our leaders. And then we have to be challenged to think about what that looks like. And, you know, it's the right person, right job, right fit. And so for us and for our prospective talent, it's about continuing to figure out how do we make those work. Because when you say there's an 80% of folks are unemployed, there's a lot of work out there. And so we have to figure out how to help people get into those places. And we as employers have to figure out what that means for us. So thank you for doing that.
Okay, now I want to keep talking to you because I want to talk to you about building external relationships, this diverse workforce you want to put together, and the supplier diversity program. More with Colette Campbell from Bremer Bank when we come back. It is the Sunday Night Show on News Talk 830 WCCO Radio, your good neighbor station, 7:22 in the evening, and it is not pitch black dark. I love it. That means spring is on the way. Summer is on the way, and soon we will be outside with our toes out. But today, those toes were chilly. Those toes had socks on them. Those toes were inside boots, and there were flakes coming down out of the sky. Yeah, it's okay. It's okay. The spring weather is on the horizon because that sun is up a little bit longer and it is shining on Colette Campbell. She is over at Bremer Bank. She is making history for Women's History Month and she is joining us on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. And Colette, you know, you have been in this role just a little over a month, but you are already doing some amazing things. I want to talk about the fact that you got over to Bremer Bank bank and you created the first diversity council. What is a diversity council and how is it, changing the culture of your company?
So that's a great question. And so we've got a leader, Teo Samala, who is on my team, and she is the instrumental person who is leading it. What we've done under the team is the council is representative of the people in our organization in the footprint that we serve. So Minnesota, Wisconsin, North Dakota, and they are individuals who have either raised their hand or were nominated to help us move and in the strategies and the KPIs that we've committed as an organization to impact. And so we formed our second kind of cohort. So our first council kind of came off at the end of last year, and the new council was formed. In fact, this Tuesday we're having an all-day event together. But this council really, has a deeper, I would say, insight of what the strategies are that we want in the organization. So one of them is around representation. So we've made a goal in the organization to look at who we have here today and where we want to go. And so we committed as an organization to double our minority representation in 5 years. And so the council, again, is aware of that. They're helping us to make that charge. We've also committed to establish a diversity supplier program, which again is just kind of stood up. And so it's making awareness of what is that and how do people become involved. And then again, it's about serving the communities and what issues are in the communities that they're a part of. So some of the issues around diversity, equity, and inclusion are going to look different in different parts of our community. So it's going to look different in maybe Minot and Fargo than it does in the Twin Cities. And so that's what we want to be aware of so that our strategy can really be holistic. Because, Shaletta, nobody can do this work on their own. It takes a village. It takes a team. It takes people that are committed and that understand. And so that's what the council does. And I'm excited. It's a new group of folks. I think we've got over 20 and I'm just getting to know them actually. But we had more people raise their hand than we could actually say yes to, which is a good problem to have. We've just got a committed community that want to lean into this work.
And how do you get that buy-in? I mean, I can't get my kids to go to bed on time. And you got a whole group of people raising hands and showing up at autism job fairs that ain't never happened before and wanting to get out into the community and engage young people, which is one of your passions. How do you get folks to do that?
Well, we just show up and we invite them to do that. I'll let you know that last year, particularly as we kind of did a focus on inclusion around folks with different abilities, we had, and actually it was, much thanks to you, you came out and you were a speaker at one of our lunch and learns, and that lunch and learn really created a hunger and desire for our community to talk more about what are we doing with folks with different abilities and with disabilities. And like you being a mother of children with kids that are autistic, we have lots of folks in our community who have family members or have loved ones that they want to see be employed and be included in the workplace and in their communities. And so I think the reason we have so many people interested in this work is because people have signed up, I think, to be a part of our organization because of what we say, that we want to cultivate thriving communities. And so this is just a natural outpouring, I would say, the diversity, equity, inclusion work of our mission of cultivating thriving communities. So that's what I think that is what it's about.
And another thing that it's about for you, I know, is engaging young people. As the next generation comes up, they want to do podcasts and esports. And so you see in a lot of industries, they're crying out for engineers to drive the train, folks to drive the bus or the light rail, folks to climb the poles and connect the electricity or cable installers. You are always out and about at events and job fairs for young people talking about banking. And I know for me, I'm 52. I don't ever remember a woman, let alone a black woman, coming to talk to me at a career fair about a career in banking. But here you are, every time there's a career fair, showing up to talk to these young people about careers in banking.
Yeah, it's important. So as we think about Women's History Month, you know, just some fun facts. Columbia University Press has a really great article on Black women pioneers in U.S. finance. And so one of the reasons I go out is to not just to share my story, but to tell the story of others. So, you know, in 1903, Maggie Lena Walker, she was born to enslaved parents in 1864. She became the first woman to ever charter a bank. And so Walker was the first woman of any race to charter a bank in the United States, but it was a black woman. And that bank was a powerful representation of black self-help in the segregated South. And so we have to tell these stories. We got to talk about, you know, Lila St. John, who was the first black woman to pass the New York Stock Exchange in 1953. She was a mother of two and she studied for months. And that is important. It's that history. That is what helps people to say, this is why we have to do this. I mean, Shaletta, I don't know how in our lifetime in 1974 or, you know, that is when women could get credit. I mean, that's crazy. That was just in our lifetime on their own. You know, it's important that we are out there so we tell these stories so people understand that it is more recent history than ancient history that we are where we're at, right? And so we got to keep going. And that's one of the reasons I'm out there is to talk about and to talk about the history so that people want a better future and a better present. And to really realize, I mean, not till 1974 could a woman get credit on her own without a man co-signing. That's crazy.
I'm just amazed at how far we've come. And I'm so grateful at how far you are taking us on this journey. Colette Campbell with Bremer Bank, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much, Shaletta, for having us. And I just really appreciate the work you're doing. And thank you for having me be able to just talk about.
Oh, no, we dropped Colette, but we are so grateful for her coming on the show.